Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The annual UN Climate Summit continues in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, and leaders of developing countries are doubling down on their call for richer countries to pay climate reparations. It's also known as loss and damage. Here's Pakistan Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif in his opening statements on Tuesday.
Loss and damage needs to be part of the core agenda of COP27 to meet the pressing humanitarian needs of those that are trapped in a crisis of public financing fueled by debt and yet have to fund climate disasters on their own. This is simply unjust and unfair, to say the least.
Let's bring in someone who is at COP27. Salim al-Huq is director of the Bangladesh-based International Center for Climate Change and Development. Welcome. It's good to speak with you.
Hi. Good to speak with you.
And we just heard from the Prime Minister of Pakistan, which is at the forefront of these conversations on loss and damage reparations. And to be clear, these payments would be different than, for example, a rich country like the United States helping a developing country like Bangladesh pay for a renewable energy project. This is to compensate for the actual loss that climate change has caused.
Absolutely. This is a compensation mechanism for the victims of pollution from the polluters. That's the principle under which we are discussing.
And how might it work in your country of Bangladesh?
Well, in my country, in Bangladesh, we actually provide quite a lot of assistance to the victims of climate change ourselves from our own government. And what we would be looking for is for that to be augmented by additional finance coming from developed countries. They do come now, to be fair, but they come as humanitarian assistance. But what we are asking for, particularly in the COP, in the Framework Convention, is to acknowledge that there is now a causal element. It is the polluter causing the problem, and therefore polluters need to take responsibility and to pay something to the victims of their pollution. It's not just rich countries helping poor countries because they feel bad about it. It's rich countries causing the problem and therefore having to take responsibility to help the victims.
Now the question is how much. So the Prime Minister mentioned there that damage from the floods in Pakistan exceeded $30 billion. That was just in Pakistan, just one country, one flood in a single year. So when you look across the globe, how high is the price tag for loss and damage?
It's certainly in the many tens of billions, possibly even in the hundreds of billions. But that's not something that we're asking for immediately. We are asking for initial payments to be provided quickly. At the moment, we are getting $0. So even $1 is better than zero.
Hmm. So if these payments were to be made to countries like Bangladesh, how would the money be used?
Well, how to use the money would also have to be something subject to negotiation and agreement. But essentially, it would be going to the victims, particularly the poorest victims, who are suffering the impacts of climate change. They happen to be suffering. We take the floods in Pakistan, for example. Millions of people have become homeless. Their houses have been destroyed. They need to be rehabilitated. They need to be helped.
And I understand that some countries, Denmark, for instance, have committed some money for climate reparations, but this is on the agenda officially for the first time at a COP conference. Why has it been so hard to bring countries like the United States and China and the European Union on board?
I think the biggest difficulty has been a perception, and in my view, a wrong perception, that they would be opening themselves up for unlimited claims of liability and compensation, which is not the case. The developing countries, particularly the vulnerable developing countries who are suffering, are not complaining about liability and compensation. They're just asking for solidarity funding to help the victims of climate change from some of the polluters who caused the problem. And at the moment, we're just asking for voluntary contributions. And as I said, Denmark is the only conference of parties party country that has offered 100 million kroners, which is roughly $13 million.
One of the issues with reparations of any kind is often that the people who are being asked to pay them don't feel as if they should be responsible for paying for the crimes of the past. And so, for instance, what would you say to people who say, you know what, it's not the responsibility of the United States to compensate poorer countries?
Well, it's undeniable that the United States has been a big polluter and has made a big contribution to the emissions of greenhouse gases. That's now scientifically established fact. So what we're asking for is to take some responsibility and provide some money in solidarity to the victims. We're not asking for reparations. We're not asking for liability and compensation. We're just saying provide something out of a sense of moral responsibility and a sense of solidarity with the victims of your pollution.
Do you expect a breakthrough at this meeting? And if there isn't, what's at stake? What might happen?
Well, I certainly hope to have a breakthrough. The getting it on the agenda was the first breakthrough. That puts us in a good place. We have now another 10, 11 days to negotiate an outcome at the end of it. Hopefully, we'll agree to do more. We won't do everything in this COP, but at least we'll agree to take it forward. And maybe next year, by the next COP, we can actually make it happen and have the money flowing by then.
That's Salim Ul Haque, director of the Bangladesh-based International Center for Climate Change and Development, speaking with us from Egypt at COP27. And we will have coverage of the two-week climate conference in the days ahead.